Hey, this is Jess Walker Wise, your local Movement mortgage lender, and you're listening to Cut to the Chase podcast.
Stepping out beyond boundaries takes courage and the ability to dream. We are excited to share our new audio podcast called Cut to the Chase. The structure of this podcast embodies open dialogue with friends, family, and professional colleagues, talking about things that impact our ability to thrive. We hope that you will join our unscripted, unbridled podcast.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to another episode of Cut to the Chase, episode 85, entitled, I'm Rooting for You. Yes, I know to all of my listeners, particularly all of my diehard fans, I know this is another crazy title. You guys are probably going, oh my God, what is he going to talk about today? This is just insane how he comes up with these innovative ideas and titles. But today, this title really represents something that I personally related to through a post on Instagram. And so before I jump into talking about that post and our featured guest, I would like to basically set the tone for what I'm Rooting for You really means. It basically stands for to encourage, support, or cheer for someone or something, to wish the best for someone or something in their endeavor or activity. And as everybody knows, I always have a quote to really kind of set the tone for this. And basically the quote goes like this. Shout out to everyone making progress that no one recognizes, because you never let anyone see your darkest moments. You've been silent, winning battles, transforming yourself. Be proud of every step you're making in the right direction, because you have got this. Now, I know that was pretty powerful. And as I mentioned earlier, the reason why we titled today's podcast, I'm Rooting for You, is because of a post I saw on IG. And so let me tee that up. And it basically starts like this. Our special guest today grew up in a small town of Southern California with a humble beginning. After graduating high school, she decided to join the Navy. And I love her for that, because I am an ex-Navy guy myself. And her first duty station was at the NASA Wembley Island in Washington, where she met, then married her husband. As a veteran herself, she was able to support, understand, and encourage her husband through his 20-year career. In the midst of building the career, they did 5 deployments. They're thankful for the fact that he's been retired about 4 years now. She's currently working as a loan officer and oversees her career that she's made a mission to streamline the loan process in ensuring that unique and personal experience for every client. And I give her kudos for that, because I tell you, buying a house sometimes is a nightmare. She not only specializes in VA loans and being a veteran herself, but also in the construction loans where she gets help for clients building their dream home. She's a great communicator who's basically committed to actualizing the goals of her clients, no matter how complicated it is. Now, prior to that, you know, she's worked in the banking system. She's also been a mortgage officer, but she has a passion for financial fitness. She's so thankful that she's had many mentors that has ultimately developed her career to where she is today. She's been employed since she was 14 with a work permit, and basically has worked for 21 companies throughout her life and has never been fired, which that's quite impressive. I have to say to our listeners, I don't think I've ever shared that with my listeners. Yeah, we'll talk about that on another podcast, but yeah, I've been fired once. So ultimately, she serves her community. She's a co-founder of a nonprofit scholarship program for young women in her community. And in 4 years of producing the program, they've delivered over $42,000 in a local high school for girls. Sadly, this program ended with her relocation to Oregon But, you know, it did provide her with something that she was able to fulfill and be able to give back to the community. And so since she is now filling her duties as a mortgage loan officer, she also enjoys camping with her family, which includes her rambunctious boys. She did say that in her bio. I didn't make that up. She said rambunctious boys. And basically, she's an avid runner and a baker. And so before I introduce her, certainly I want her to think about this and, you know, we'll talk about it in the call. But certainly, you know, if you can make pound cake, you know, you might have to send me one. I'll give you my address. So without further ado, I'd like to introduce everyone to Miss Jess Walker-Weiss. And how are you doing today?
I am doing great. Gregory, thank you for such a fun introduction. And thanks to, you know, your team there, too. I know you guys are working hard. I'm really excited to be here today. So thank you for reaching out.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. And so, you know, to our listeners, let's kind of end the suspense. And, you know, what I want to say is, you know, we're always out on IG, LinkedIn, and Facebook, and we're always looking for content. And a lot of people, you know, they look for content in a way that, you know, they're trying to get inspired or they're trying to, you know, figure out what they're going to post next, or maybe they're just, you know, looking for something to pique their interest. Well, in our particular case, you know, for us, we're looking for things that not only inspire us, but we're looking for those stories. We're looking for things that haven't been shared. And with this particular post that Jess put out there, I'm rooting for you. It was like, oh my God, here we go. We've got a cheerleader now that is rooting for everyone's success. She wants to see everyone succeed. And this is a person that we have to reach out to. And folks, that is why we have Jess on the call today, or excuse me, on the podcast today. And so, Jess, my first question to you is, what does that mean? I'm rooting for you.
You know, I think it just comes from like a genuine place of wanting to see other people succeed and pursue their goals and pursue their passions. And I think a large part of my career has been in a mentorship or leadership role. And it just really lifts me up to lift up others. And in the industry that I'm in, being a mortgage lender, it's very competitive. I had a great mentor when I worked at the bank, and she said, you know, there's a lane for everyone. So don't focus on the competition. Just be yourself, be genuine, be authentic, and there's room for everyone to be successful. And I think when you adopt that mindset, you know, you feel better about the work and the commitment that you have to your goals, and then that allows you to inspire others.
Awesome. 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 You know, I went off and did, you know, even more research than just the fact of, you know, reaching out to you and basically, you know, being intrigued by the fact of rooting for you was something that really stood out. And of course, knowing what that's all about, because I'm an avid sports fan and I just love sports and things like that. And so you're always cheering for your team, you cheer for your kids and so forth and so on. But I went as far back to say, wow, where did that word come from? Because it's really something kind of, you know, it's not really something that's really touted a lot. And so what I found through my research is it says, although it's not certain, this term most likely came from an Americanization of the British word called rout, R-O-U-T. And that word means to bellow, which was used to describe a cattle call, a bellow sound like a cheer, thus the acceptance of the common meaning of the phrase as cheer for someone or i.e. team. Very intriguing, you know, for you to post that out there and, you know, all these things come about. But it is what
it
is, right?
That. Yeah, I love that history. That's fun. I think that is what rooting is. You're not saying it quietly behind closed doors. You're out there and you're announcing to someone like, hey, I've got your back and let's do it together, and celebrating their success in a loud way through social media. I mean, that's a great example of rooting for people.
Yes, absolutely. Absolutely. So Jess, you know, as we kind of, you know, allow for our audience to understand a little bit more about who you are, You know, I think one of the things that really stands out from your bio is, you know, kind of you co-founded this nonprofit scholarship program for young women in your community. And basically, you know, that's really a way to kind of put yourself out there, not only as a coach, as a mentor, as a leader, as a parent, as a guide, but it also shows the power of you wanting to see someone else succeed. So can you walk us through kind of what that was and how that all came about? And then, you know, obviously, unfortunately, we know that you moved from that prior location to where you're living now. But certainly, is that something that you still aspire to do?
Yeah, you know, that is such a heart project for me. So I did pageants growing up when I was younger, and I was not successful at all. But I really enjoyed the camaraderie, and I learned a lot about stage presence, how to talk to other people, you know, how to have kind of an inner confidence. And since I'm a mom of three boys, I really felt like I was missing out on not having a daughter. There's a quote out there about being, you know, the person that you wish you could have looked up to when you were younger. Mm-hmm. So I talk about having some humble beginnings. And as I was a young child, I'd always looked for a strong female mentor. And so when I decided to take on the pageant, I really wanted to create a program and a safe space for high school young women to come and be mentored by other great women in our community and to give away as much money as we could so that they could pursue their education. And my very, very good friend, River Powers, decided to partner with me on that venture. And she taught me a lot about being a yes person, because I presented her with this crazy idea to do this pageant in a community that had not had pageants before. And pageants can be a very controversial type of competition. And she said yes right away. And then our momentum and our energy really got the community to buy in, and it became a really loved and trusted program. We ran it for 4 years. And then I did relocate to Oregon, and actually they are relaunching the program as we speak. So they're going to have a season coming up here shortly, and they'll continue to give away scholarship dollars to those young women who participate in the program.
Nice, nice, nice. So, you know, that has to be a good feeling, you know, to really, you know, have that affirmation that something that you've worked on so diligently, that you put your passion and your heart into, your soul, that obviously, even though you moved away, it's still continuing. You know, that's a part of, as they say, leaving your legacy. And I think that's highly commendable, you know, for you, you know, starting something like that, and now for it to continue to represent who you are as an individual and as a person, and basically what it meant to you, because those things are significantly important. I think we don't have enough of that going on in the world today, particularly as it relates to how we set ourselves up for leaving our legacy in a most positive light.
Yeah. And I think that the part of that that's missing for folks is not taking the risk. Mm-hmm. You know, when we started something like that, there were, of course, naysayers, and there were people that were really concerned about the pageant image and pageant stereotype. And my life philosophy is, whether it's a pageant or a baseball game or, you know, your work, just be committed to it and share openly and honestly with integrity, and people will follow. You know, people will respect that and appreciate it. So I think being brave enough to take the risk and go for it, you know, that's how we start building a legacy and doing really powerful things in our community.
Yes, yes. I totally agree. And, you know, the other thing that really stands out, you know, as we've spent time just, you know, talking with you and getting to know you, is the fact that, you know, you really go above and beyond, you know, as from a lending officer perspective, because you see both dimensions. And what I mean by that is the fact that, you know, as a prior military myself, and you also being prior military, you know, your family being prior military, you know, coming out of the military and then trying to get adapted to civilian life, and then trying to get settled into where we're going to live, buying a home, and all these different things, which are really never taught. There's no transitional program when you come out of the military to get you back into the civilian world, because, you know, I'm going to use this term loosely, and I hope nobody, throws a ball at me because, I love my country. I've served, and I truly appreciate everything that I've endured, sacrificed, and learned, because all those things are very, very important. But when you go through your 8 years, your 20 years, your whatever, however many years you spend in the military, there's a sense of comfort that the government is going to kind of take care of some of those things that you really don't have to worry about. And, housing and, your moves and all these things. It really comes down to, hey, you sign your orders, you hop in your car, you get on a plane, and boom, everything else is kind of taken care of. Not quite that simple, but, for lack of better terms, it's kind of a 1-2-3, step process. But when you come out, of the military, and there's no cheerleader. There's no one rooting for you. There is basically, okay, here's your DD-214. They may tell you, if you have a 15-page resume, you may want to tailor that to 2 pages. And you start scratching your head going, wait a minute now, how am I going to get that from 15 to 2 pages? But ultimately, it is a transitional phase that has to occur. And, I think the thing here that, as we're talking about this, that's most significant is the fact that you and your husband were in. And so since he served basically a 20-year career, and I'm assuming you got out before he did, is that correct?
I did. Yeah, I was only in 4 years.
Mm-hmm. Okay. But the thing is, you were able to kind of see that dimension, a lot sooner than him and kind of help him, really kind of digest, what's going to happen when you come out of the military and the mindset and the thought process and all those different things. So really your kind of rooting started, not only with your kids, but it also started with your husband very, very early on. And then it looks like that just kind of transcended into how you represent your clients, which is awesome. I mean, is that kind of a true statement?
I've never thought about it like that. And as you're saying it, I'm like, wow, that is actually what happened. You hit the nail on the head. I mean, rooting for my husband, I've always thought of it like I'm playing this background role and I'm being supportive and understanding. But there is a real unique thing that happens when folks transition from the military to civilian life, especially after a long career. There is a lot they don't know about living in the real world, So yeah, I would say I sure was rooting for him that entire time during his career and kind of holding down the home front and then knowing that he would be successful after the military and rooting for him to pursue his new career. And definitely that translates into work. Like, I've never put it in those terms, but when I advocate for a client with an underwriter, I'm rooting for them, right? I'm typing up my memo saying, hey, if this was my money on the line, I would write the check for the client, and here's why. So yeah, I love how you put that.
Yeah. Well, thank you for that. The next thing, as you as you brought up, being a loan officer and just a sure fact that, as a loan officer, I know there's a lot that goes into making your job successful. And, some loan officers work commission only. Some of them are tied into larger firms where they kind of get paid plus commission. But the unique thing that basically kind of stood out for me, which I've really never seen before, because in a lot of cases, you talk to loan officers and the first thing they tell you is, no, we typically won't do a construction loan, or, it's very hard to get that across the finish line or something like that. And so, I'm amazed that, your experience and where you are, particularly in your area, where you have the capability to be able to help those really build their dream home, because sometimes people want to go buy a piece of land and, maybe they're not ready to buy right away. And, there's the land costs. And then, of course, they want to work a couple years or a couple months and save enough money before they actually put down the down payment for a builder to build their house. And so the complexities of the construction loan versus just a standard traditional loan for a structure that is in place sometimes plays a little bit of a fallacy with those that are really aspiring to really be in something that they've had some vested interest, or should I say blood, sweat, and tears. And so kind of walk us through, a little bit about the construction loan piece, if you don't mind, because the reason why I'm asking is because not only am I thinking about building something of a dream state, but I know here where I live in San Antonio, I've gone through headaches and dealing with multiple loan officers and talking about this idea. And all of them have kind of given me the runaround. And it's like, okay, fine. If I can't find the right one in this state or in this city, maybe I'll just go outside of the state because, these things can be done. I mean, we're not living in, the antiquated ages of time. I mean, all this technological advancement, I can go on Google and see that there's construction loans, So kind of give me some insight on that.
Yeah. Let me, kind of think about the best way to start this. For me, when I started as a loan officer, I cut my teeth on really tough loans and tough transactions. And part of that is because I had a mentor that really believed in me and my abilities. But to be honest, when I got into the industry and had my very first construction loan on day three of the job, I really had no idea what I was doing. And you're right, construction loans are very unique. They can be challenging. And that's why you'll hear a lot of loan officers kind of shy away from them. In the time period that you do one construction loan, you could have done, 30 traditional loans, and you're still working with that one client. Mm-hmm. So a lot of loan officers get into that mindset where it's maybe a little bit more transactional. Mm-hmm. With a construction loan, it's a long-term relationship. I mean, we're going to talk every day for 9 to 12 months while that project is ongoing. Mm-hmm. And from a client perspective, my job as a loan officer is to really set the expectation for you that construction loans are a little bit more challenging. You have to have strong credit score. You've got to have money to support the project because the lender doesn't have anything to collateralize until it's all finished. Right? So you have to meet the lender halfway with some of that risk. And then just knowing that the lender is on your side, we're monitoring the project, we're making sure it's done to the specs and plans so that you're getting the finished product that you and that builder decided on. Right now with COVID and with, lumber prices, there have been a lot of challenges facing construction loans, and that market is always changing. Mm-hmm. But it's possible. And when you work with the right loan officer that can be an advocate for you, or I guess can be rooting for you with the builder, with the construction loan team, with the underwriter, then you can have a successful project. And for me, some of the most memorable moments are dropping off a basket to my client's, custom construction home that they just moved into that they worked 30 plus years to get. That's a really powerful moment for a homeowner.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Absolutely. And, I'm listening to you and I'm saying there's hope, for my creativity and what I'm looking to do from building that dream home. And I appreciate you sharing that with our listeners and with me. The other intriguing facts here that kind of resonate with me as we've talked with you is the fact that, you started in 2005 in the banking business. And from there, you kind of transcended into the mortgage loan business. And then you had all of these just very influential people that really instilled in you, the passion for financial fitness. And so would it be safe to say that, earlier on, your composition of working with these people really kind of set the stage, the framework, the foundation for I'm rooting for you? Because like I said, it's such a powerful thing with you, and it kind of oozes all over your IG account. And like I said, I mean, you're the number one cheerleader. I mean, you are that number one cheerleader. And I mean that in the most complimentary way, because of the simple fact that most people don't go to the forefronts that are required to see their clients succeed. And I can tell you, I've heard a lot of horror stories. I've actually been through some horror stories myself, a couple of horror stories, at least a couple that I know. But the one related to me particularly is where, you know, I dropped $100,000 and I still did not get into her house. And trust me, I won't say this on live air, but, you know, that loan officer almost got, you know, more than a tongue lashing. Let's just say that. So certainly, you know, having the quality of understanding and appreciation and someone that has a mission, you know, which they understand, they take that professionalism to heart, you know, is commendable. And like I said, I thoroughly enjoy, you know, hearing that, because sometimes, like you said earlier, it's a numbers game, or it's this, or it's that, or whatever the case may be. But to me, it's your professional duty. I mean, particularly if you're licensed, you're signed up, you know, you owe it to your customer, every person that comes through the door, to be able to provide that proper due diligence and being able to execute your job to the fullest of its capability. And when you fall short of that, sometimes it not just as a reflection of you, but it hurts. It hurts a lot of people in many, many different ways. And it literally shatters their dreams. And sometimes people can't recover if their dreams are shattered. I mean, like in my case with the $100,000 loss, I mean, I was furious for about a year. I mean, there was like nothing I could think about except for the fact that, you know, how could this happen? You know, just like, oh, you know, and you just want to put your hands around somebody's neck. But yeah. but anyway, you know, it's just, you know, it's truly commendable. And certainly we appreciate your honesty on that and being able to share, you know, how important it is to you to ensure that that's a part of your mission and your goal.
Yeah. And I am on a mission about education and really promoting homeownership. You know, again, I talk about coming from humble beginnings. My family didn't own a home growing up. So I coined this term, you know, first generation home ownership. Like, how do I buy a house? What is that process? And yes, I get to work with clients who have saved, you know, their entire lives to build their dream home. But I also get to work with clients who have never had the stability of home ownership, and they're trying to provide that for their families. Mm-hmm. And so I'm very passionate about sending someone away with a plan. You know, I don't want to send someone away with a no. And there's a fine line between how much hope can I offer in their unique situation. But if I can't tell them yes today, I want to give them the plan to move forward. And then I'm going to be kind of a nosy loan officer and check in every few months and make sure you're sticking to the plan so that we can get there and meet your goals. And I think that I've always been that way in every job I've ever had. You can't be too big to do the small jobs. So, you know, when I worked at the bank as a branch manager, I would make the coffee. When I work here as a loan officer, I talk to first generation homeowners and I talk to people that are building custom homes. You just can't be too big for those small jobs.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. So Jess, we're almost out of time. And, you know, based on what we've talked about, the encouragement of support and cheering for someone else or something to wish them the best possible outcome on their endeavor or activity, you know, do you have any tips or value added or takeaways or lessons learned that you'd like to leave with our listeners?
One thing is, I mean, take action. I'm very passionate about being an action-oriented person. So if you see someone's doing a good job, send them a note, give them a shout out on social media. Like, don't hesitate to recognize when someone has done something that has inspired you. Even if it's very small, you know, the more encouragement that we can spread around, especially in light of COVID and in light of working from home and all the challenges that we're facing right now, I would say take every opportunity you can to encourage someone. I send out about a dozen thank you notes every week, and I always throw a random one in there to someone in my, you know, business field or business address book, just to say, hey, I see you and I see you doing great things and keep up the good work. So I would just challenge people to spread as much encouragement as possible and it'll come back.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Totally, totally agree with you. And just before we wrap up here, I have kind of, you know, just a closeout quote that I'd like to read to our listeners and, of course, you. And basically, it goes like this. It basically says, it doesn't have to be perfect all the time. You know, you can make mistakes. There can be bumps in the road. You don't feel bad about a few sad days, a few bad days, because the journey isn't a journey without lessons learned along the way during the times of struggle. You will make it through wherever you are going through right now. You will be stronger from it. You will continue your journey stronger, wiser, and ready to move forward. And so that was kind of a wholesome suggestion to kind of wrap up what we've talked about. I'm rooting for you, to our number one cheerleader. Keep up the great work with all of the great posts that you're doing out there. We hope that this episode inspires those that are needing a little bit of pep talk or a little bit of cheer. Jess, certainly this has been a great honor and a great pleasure to meet you, to collaborate with you, and basically to have a little bit of fun and to spend this great moment with you. And so to all of our listeners, without further ado, this has been episode 85. Jess, thank you again. Episode 85, I'm rooting for you. This is your host, Gregory Proctor. Cut to the chase. Bye-bye, everyone.
Thanks for tuning in to Cut to the Chase. Stay connected with us on Facebook, Instagram, TikTok, and LinkedIn at Cut to the Chase. You'll also find even more great content on our website at www.k2tcpodcast.com. Thank you, and catch you on the next episode.